This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. In the past decade, North Carolina has become home to a growing number of Karen refugees. They're an ethnic minority from Burma who had faced violence under the previous government. Many of these refugees call the Triangle home, and for the past 6 years, a group of Karen families have used their traditional farming techniques on a five-acre plot of land in Chapel Hill. They grow crops native to both North Carolina and Burma that feed their families and the larger community through sales at farmers markets and a CSA program. The story of the farm and the community is documented in a new bilingual book, Transplanting Traditions, The Story of a Community Farm. The book was launched at the Frank Art Gallery in Chapel Hill last night and is the centerpiece of a larger cultural celebration taking place at the Kid Zoo Children's Museum in Chapel Hill this Sunday. Joining me in the studio to talk about this is artist Neris Levy, who has helped artist Levy, who runs the Karen Youth Art Group. Neris, welcome back to the State.
Thank you very much.
Good to have you here.
Thank you.
Also with us, Fran Hamer, a retiree who's been volunteering with the Karen community since 2010. Fran, good to have you here as well.
Yes, I am. Glad to be here.
And joining us now is Latu Bo. He's a participant in the Karen Youth Art Group, currently attending Durham Tech. Latu, welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Good to have you. Neris, take us back a bit. Tell us about the families and who are settling now in the Triangle.
Yes. Well, the families who are settling in the Triangle are Karens. They are originally from the hill area of Burma, also known as Myanmar, who, as a result of war, ended up in Thailand in refugee camps. And as a result of that displacement, they were brought over under the refugee program by the churches to the United States to resettle in the United States in different parts. And so one of their resettlement areas is the Triangle, which is an attractive place, jobs at UNC. But Cobra Chapel Hill is even more attractive because Triangle Land Conservancy gave land to the Orange County Partnership for Young Children to develop a farm where these refugees could practice their traditional farming practices in addition to learning about farming in North Carolina.
And Fran, you've been volunteering with the community since 2010. Tell us a bit about the community and how it's evolved since you started working with them.
I think one of the things that I first became aware of the Karen community when I was working with Porch, which is an all-volunteer food distribution, helping families in Carrboro and Chapel Hill. And it has grown from that. The translator that we worked with had introduced me to some people that were working with the farm. And so I became familiar with the farm. And the people working, they would get off of work, go ahead and work until 7 o'clock in the morning till 12 o'clock in noon, and they would be working on their crops. And I was very impressed with everything that they were doing, so I became a CSA person also purchasing.
Yeah, well, tell us a little bit about how the farm works, because it is important in sort of keeping some of these traditions together and the community, the idea that if you came from a rural community, you could do some of the practices at least that remind you of home, right?
They a lot of the tools that they use come from Burma or come from Thailand. They order them. And so a batu is what we would call a hoe. And so they use that to break up the dirt and to plant. They plant a lot of their traditional foods and vegetables so that it's natural for them to eat, and they can't get it in a supermarket.
So and this, now we can get it, too, because it's all part of the CSA. So
yes.
If you subscribe or if you go to the farmer's market, you can get some native to North Carolina stuff and some things that you might only find in other markets. So, Neris, now tell us about the art project and how that got started.
Yes.
And plays into this story.
Yes. I know Fran, and I met her because I run the community dinner, and Fran wanted to include the Karens in the annual community dinner. We've done 19 of those. And as a result of that relationship, Fran started to bring in Karen students into the gallery, and they started to show me their work, mostly drawings, which were so impressive. And as you know, Frank Gallery is a non-profit gallery with a retail component. And it was decided that we start classes for the Karen youth at Frank Gallery to develop their skills. And most of these young people had families who were working on the farm. So it became a natural thing to focus on where all the families and where the young people were spending a lot of their time, which was on the farm. And out of that grew the idea of having a book where we could really harness the skills of our students in documenting the life of their families, not only here in North Carolina, but some exploring some of their history in Myanmar, which is now Burma, and also Thailand, where all our students were born. All our students were born in refugee camps in Burma, in Myanmar, in Thailand. So all our students are refugees.
Mm-hmm. Latu, tell me about your work. One of the more stunning pictures in this book is one that you did, the picture of the water buffalo.
Correct.
Tell us about the water buffalo and what you know of this and how you came to draw this.
Well, I did the water buffalo because I want to show other people that the Korean people use the water buffalo to help the in the rice farm. They use the water buffalo to plot the rice farm and help them fertilize the soils, and then help it to transport goods to other merchandise if they want to trade certain items, and they also use the buffalo to travel from place to places.
Do you have much of a memory? How old were you when you left?
Well, I mostly grew up in Thailand, so I don't really have a lot of experience in Burma. So whenever I want to do something and something similar, something that come out of Burma, I usually have to talk to my dad. And my dad and my parents are the ones who grew up in Burma, and they know a lot about how to grow rice farm and stuff like that. And their parents taught me that, so they will often mention that they have certain tools that they use, and buffalo, how they operate the farm.
It's interesting to think about the challenges of just trying to assimilate for you, just trying to get used to a new culture and to become part of this culture. What was it like for you to be asked to make paintings or drawings of the culture that your family came from?
It was actually an amazing experience because I get to show other people what we Korean people live in Burma, and I get the chance, the opportunity to show that with my art, and my ability, that the creation, that the drawing that I made.
And Neris, this we should point out, when you started the art program, it wasn't meant as a kind of an art therapy program.
No,
right?
We are not art therapists. I mean, art therapy is a profession and aimed at doing support work for students in another way. What the art group at Frank Gallery tries to do is to really explore the potential and the talents of our students and really looking to the future. We started this group to harness the talents and to build portfolios for our students, which could be used to further their careers. So the production of this book is really meant as part of building up our students' portfolios. Very few students go to art school with such a portfolio, a book designed by somebody like Steve Godwin from the Algonquin Press, with narrative by Susie Wilde, who is a book writer, and having all our artist mentors and supporters at Frank Gallery being teachers. So this book is by the students. The narrative is by the students with the assistance of Susie Wilde. It is their book, but it really, really heightens their ability. This group of students is so talented, so outstanding. In the camps, they didn't have a lot of equipment, but they developed a capacity for seeing, looking, and design, which is unrivaled in many students in this country. They did not have TVs. They did not have computers. They sat there and they drew what they saw. So they came to Frank Gallery with a heightened artistic sensibility, which we actually saw immediately. And we have all benefited from being teachers to these wonderful students.
Latu, did you have much experience in camps or much opportunity to work with art? Or I don't know if there are any programs, but again, work with whatever you had to express yourself artistically.
Well, when I was grew up in a camp there, actually, I took in art classes, and there's a lot of my friends are actually artists, and a lot of us go after school. After school, we go to the art classes to drawings, and most of us are actually drawn portraits. So we don't get to work with color a lot because of the expenses, and move here and get to work with a new tools like computer art, and you had to have a lot of tools. It's an amazing experience.
Fran, tell me about this. The book is bilingual, right? And educating students in both languages has been important to the community. Tell us a bit about that and about the school and how this all comes together and the importance of having this a bilingual book.
The elders in the community, the Karen community, decided that they wanted to have a Karen school because they were afraid that the children were going to lose their language. They knew that they spoke it at home, but then there wasn't any reading, there wasn't any writing. And so one of the things that Porch did for the first summer that we were doing was we looked for books that were at least in Karen language, and we passed them out. And so that was one of the things that the translator asked me. He said, is there any way we could start a school? And I don't have any, I'm a business person. I'm a retired business person. So I said, well, we can try. So we sort of researched. We ended up going to one of the schools, Carver Elementary. We had the social worker there help us. And so for two nights a week, we would meet for an hour and 45 minutes because that was the time that the parents, it was convenient for them because they're on shift work. And we would do poems, we would do songs.
Let me stop you there. Were you doing traditional poems? You're taking poems from the Karen tradition, or are you doing also English?
We were doing the traditional poems. And we had ordered books from Thailand, which we got through a Raleigh publisher. And
Sounds like you're learning a lot about the Karen culture yourself.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Let me ask you this, though, and I'll maybe go around a little bit. Obviously, there is value in knowing your culture and being a part of it. But we talk about the challenges of, making your way in this society. What role does that play? How important is it to maintain your culture when you're in this position of having to really figure out how to get a job and how to get to school and all those other things?
Yes, there were many things that they had to learn, and learning English was one of the major things that they had to do in order to be able to just maneuver through anything from going to work to going to the grocery store. They also learned to catch a bus, and so they had to have the language just in order to be able to pay for, that.
Well, Latu, let me ask you that same question in a different way. I mean, young people all over the world are famous for wanting to break away from their parents' tradition, whether they're growing up in the same place or someplace else. How important is it important to you to maintain your culture while you're here? And if so, why?
I think it's important to for the Korean people to maintain their cultures here because they don't really good in adapting in new cultures. It's good for them to have a little bit of their cultures here, for them to be able to farm, and also adapted to a new culture here, shopping the mall, that the foods there are not actually they never really eat those before, so they get to get a farm here, and also, the children doesn't if they grow up here and they don't speak Korean, so that's a major problem with them. So this book is a chance for them to teach their children how to speak Korean.
We'll talk more about the book, Naris, and the event this weekend, a celebration of the book and other aspects of Korean culture. Tell us what's happening this weekend.
Well, this weekend, we really want to thank UNC's program in the humanities for having a book launch celebration for the book at Kidzu starting at 1 o'clock on Sunday. Rachel Shavitz-Jones has been working very, very hard to create this creative intersection of scholarship and public engagement, which will enhance understanding of the community and which is increasingly important today. So this is not just for the Karens. This celebration on Sunday is for the whole of Chapel Hill and Carborough and the Triangle to come and celebrate the book and learn about where our students and the creators of the book came from.
It's a lovely book.
And yeah, and it's a way of educating. You know, we talk about how hard it is for our students to come into the community. Most students now in a classroom in the Triangle, most of them sit next to Karens. They, you know, a lot of Karens now, we have over 1,000 families in Chapel Hill, Carborough, and they really don't know a lot about these students. So we are extending a welcome to everybody to come and learn about where our students came from and to see how beautiful the language looks. You know, we have given the book, Steve Godwin designed the book with equal emphasis on Karen and English, because the Karen language is not a devalued language. And what we're trying to say is having two cultures, and I come from two cultures, having two cultures is a plus and not a minus. To be able to speak two languages is wonderful. So this book celebrates the Karen ability to speak two languages.
Latu, are you planning to pursue a career in art?
Is I actually majored in computer science, but art is the it's a thing I personally love enjoy doing when I was a kid, because often my brother and my father would buy me a sketchbook and a crayon. So I do a lot of drawings and coloring when I was a kid. So eventually I just become obsessed with it. So I do a lot of drawing and paintings, and this book actually convinced me a lot to pursue and major in art. I really hope it will further my career in art, and I will definitely continue doing art.
That's great. And I guess you could continue to teach, and all computer graphics, sky's the limit there. Neris, what are your hopes for the future and the future of the program, the art program?
Oh, well, we have just begun. I mean, we are so excited about our students and the book. We want to grow our program with more students. We don't want to make it too big simply because we like to give one-on-one teaching. We'd like to include a film component. We have a very big photographic component, maybe more books, but we also want to further the careers of our students. One of our students is very interested in the plight of Hispanic students who are being deported. She is in Chapel Hill High School, and she's with a group of students who are very aware of what being a minority is about. She wants to do a project on those students who are threatened with either not being able to go to community college here because they can't afford it, or with deportation. Now, she also has a family who works on the farm, and she's very, very Karen. This is Riri Way, but she also is an American. So what we are looking at is the next generation of Karen Americans. We're hoping to bring more middle school students into the program, and we will change our program to fit the needs of our students as the program evolves. We want to be here to help. We want to be here not only to direct, but to react and to be able to capitalize on the wonderful talents of our Karen students and help them linguistically as well as they develop with their artistic sensibilities.
I want to thank all of you for being on the program. Neris Levy is an artist at Frank Gallery who runs the Karen Youth Art Group. Neris, thank you for being on the
thank
program.
Thank you, Frank, for being here. Thank you.
Fran Hamer is a retiree who's been volunteering with Karen refugees in Orange County for 6 years. Fran, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Also with us, Latu Bo, a member of the Karen Youth Art Group, who put together, part of the group that put together a new bilingual book, Transplanting Traditions, The Story of a Community Farm. Latu, thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me here.
The book is part of an afternoon celebration with dance and music this Sunday, 3:30, at Kidzu Children's Museum in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. And you can find out more at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, the music of Diane Davidson and Jamie Anderson. Stay with us.